watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutun. What has been the COVID-19 crisis? What has the COVID-19 crisis taught us about our capacity to manage infectious diseases? Joining us on the show tonight to help us better understand the resilience of Malaysia's healthcare system and the values underlying our public health policies, we have consultant infectious diseases physician, Datuk Dr. Christopher Lee. He served as the Health Ministry's Deputy Director General for Research and Technical Support and also the National Advisor on Infectious Diseases. Dr. Christopher Lee was also recently appointed the new president of the Malaysian AIDS Council. Christopher, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Now, can we begin with what the pandemic has revealed to you about Malaysia's healthcare system and also our capacity to manage infectious diseases?
Well, I think two things come to my mind straight off. Number one, we have institutional memory. I think the initial months, as Tan Sri KPK mentioned before, when we first heard of this outbreak in Wuhan, we got things pretty quickly together because we have the institutional memory of previous outbreaks before. And the one closest to mine would be SARS, followed by H1N1. So many of these things came almost second nature to many of us within the Ministry of Health at that time. I think that served us very well because we had a playbook. We didn't have to think from scratch from the early days. So we had a playbook that we could follow, and that made things pretty easy for us. However, I think this outbreak was very different from SARS, from H1N1, because of two things. Number one, the magnitude of the disruption that it caused, and the new information that came along. It didn't spread the way we thought it would spread, like SARS. It was different from SARS. And the game changer, at least for me, and I think for many of my colleagues, was when we realized that this bug was spreading even before patients became symptomatic. That was a game changer. That was, oops, something happened, and we got to change the way we looked at things. So, and I'm sure you remember during the early weeks and early months, we were talking about if you have fever, don't go out. If you have fever, wear a mask. If you have no fever, don't wear a mask. But with that input of pre-symptomatic or asymptomatic transmission, the whole ball game changed, and we had to adjust our approach. Now, that also tells us that we keep to real time. We look at the information that's coming in all over the world, and we have the ability to look at this data and take away the noise from the real information. You know, I'm sure everybody was talking about fake news during the early weeks and early months, and everyone, when you heard some information, we would struggle. Is it for real? Is this information validated, et cetera, et cetera? But I'm glad to see that within the Ministry of Health, we did have the expertise and the experience of looking at this data. Now, of course, we did have guidance from international agencies like WHO. Mm. So all this, I think, from the earlier outbreaks that we have faced, that helped us a great deal.
But Christopher, can I ask you about what strains do you think it put on our existing system? Your involvement in the ministry, that experience. Could you see where the stress points were during this particular pandemic?
Well, we are always concerned about the surge capacity. Could we keep up with the numbers that were coming in? During SARS, we were lucky because the number of cases was pretty small because SARS wasn't as infectious. H1N1, we were lucky because H1N1 wasn't that deadly as such. Most patients were extremely well. Very, very few patients were sick. But COVID-19 was a bit different. It is extremely infectious. And even though the mortality rate over the world is about 5%, when you infect so many people became sick. So that became a burden. So the surge capacity was our biggest concern. And when surge capacity happens, you're worried about beds, about ventilators, and about PPEs. I think in our country, I think we all knew that in the early part of the outbreak, we had problems with PPEs.
Right.
It took us some time to move things around and get the PPEs, the right PPEs to the right people.
Okay.
But over time, I think the the situation improved over time.
But it wasn't just about equipment and PPEs. It was also about people, about medical frontliners. And, you know, by all intents, for all intents and purposes, they have done a wonderful job. And I'm wondering whether there's been, sufficient effort to protect their well-being. Have we done enough for our medical frontliners, given, you know, especially in the news recently, there's been a lot of talk about unpaid allowances, about, you know, short contract terms for medical officers. So what can be done better to take care of our medical frontliners?
I think Tansri, you talked about it yesterday or the day before. I mean, clearly, it's not right that people didn't get the allowances that they were promised. And I'm sure the administrative side would look into it. No question. That's a no-brainer. Surely people get this illusion that and demoralized to some degree. But that's important. I think we need to get that right. We need to make sure they are protected, their well-being is well looked after. We must walk the talk. I think it's sometimes easy to say, thank you very much, we appreciate it. We appreciate what you have done, but we've got to show it as well. You know, talk sometimes is not enough. But I'm sure they'll get it right.
Right. Christopher, what about the question of research? Because, you know, we see many countries really at the forefront, and that's not the Malaysian narrative. The narrative has been the management of the disease within the population, but we've not done very well, or at least we've not shone in terms of the research field. Why do you think that is? I mean, is there something deficient in our research capacity?
I think you are right. Based on other developed countries, we may not be on par with them. I think that one is a given. That's true. But research is going on, and I know for a fact that my colleagues at the NIH and IMR are doing research. But of course, the speed of which the research is done certainly may appear slower. For example, I know there's a team working on vaccines, but our vaccine platform may not be as strong as other more developed countries. So yes, we won't be making new roads in a big way in a short period of time. But you are right. I think research is some place we can push forward a bit faster.
Yeah. What would it take, Christopher, for that to happen? Is it just an investment issue? Is it a talent issue?
I think you've scored on both points. Number one, investment is always important, and not just money, but as well as equipment and things like that. But the bigger issue for me, I think, would be bringing people with the experience and the talent and capacity to do high-level research.
Okay.
And this either we right. train from internally, build internally, or sometimes you may even have to import talent from elsewhere.
So on that note, Christopher, there's this mantra, the Build Back Better mantra. With regards to the Malaysian healthcare system, what is it that you think we need to build back better?
Well, I think we have got most of our, in my mind, and I'm being frank about this, I think we got most of the big stuff sorted out. I do think we need to tweak certain things better. I think speed and thoroughness in the way we do things is important. We need to do follow through better because, of course, in any outbreak, there will be gaps. Things will fall through our fingers. That can happen. But I think we need to be able to see those potential pitfalls and hope for the best, of course, but we must always be prepared for the worst. And sometimes that's important. Hoping that everything works out itself is great. That's good. Optimistic. But we must really look at what if things go wrong. And can things go wrong? Things always go wrong. Somewhere along the line, things go wrong. The question is whether it's a big stuff or whether it's a small, little, tiny, mini one.
Right. Okay, Christopher, we're going to take a quick break, but please stay on the line because after this, we're going to come back and continue the conversation about your new role as president of the Malaysian AIDS Council. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Stay tuned to consider this.